Hey everybody, it's Brian. Before I did this Seahawks stuff full-time, I worked as a manager and senior leader, so I know how lonely it can be to try to find someone you trust to talk through people issues, org issues, process issues as you try to lead an organization. Ryan Cleveland of RyanCleveland.com is someone I trust to have those conversations with. He specializes in working with CEOs and business owners, and you can get a complimentary free discovery session to see if it's a good fit for you. Just go to RyanCleveland.com to sign up and start now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first ever Real Hawk Talk Live in front of a live studio audience here in Nashville. It is amazing to see the faces here. Let's go. We are at DraftKings Social here in Nashville. It is an awesome venue. Highly recommend if you have not checked it out that you do so. There are drinks flowing. There's going to be Seahawks talk flowing. We're going to have some special guests that come on. And we're going to kind of rotate. This is going to be a random episode. I will tell you that everybody that's going to sit in this seat next to me has asked me, what are we doing? What are we going to talk about? How are we going to do this? And I'm like, the same way we've done every episode since we started this back in 2017. We're going to sit together and we're going to talk like we always do. And I think we got to start this particular episode with the news that came out today. Torrey Horton goes on IR. So we'll get to some fun social stuff in a second. But Jeff, this is now the fourth straight week the Seahawks have put at least one player on IR. This is not the streak that I'm looking for them to continue. So what was your reaction when you heard the news?
I was bummed out. It's been kind of weird with him where he had a really good game against Washington. And then all of a sudden he comes out of that game and all of a sudden they're like, he's injured. And when they made the Shahid trade, a lot of people were like, that feels like luxury. How would you feel right now if they didn't have Shahid and Horton's going on IR and it'd be Kupp who's banged up, JSN, and then what?
Yeah, well, it's also a bonus that they basically run a two-receiver offense, right?
Yeah,
so you got Cooper Kupp, you got this guy JSN, I think, is having a pretty good year. So it doesn't kill them, but I think having Torrey Horton go on IR is a bit of a bummer for his rookie season. A lot of people are like, there's this take that keeps coming up for me that honestly drives me a little nuts. It's two takes. One is, oh, this guy is injured a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no player like intentionally gets injured. I don't know why people get mad at players for getting injured. And the other is the Seahawks training staff. We got to get the Rams training staff because the Seahawks training staff clearly isn't bringing it. And I'm like, do you really believe the training staff has control over whether a player gets injured or not? Like,
I do not, but it's the number one like fan take you'll see. And like, I follow all kinds of teams and I've covered teams in Toronto. Everyone I know is a fan of a different team. Nothing comes up more with different fan bases than blaming the training staff when there's injuries. And it's so funny for me to see it every single time come up for the Seahawks. And literally like 90% of the teams are going through this exact same thing. Yes. So is every training staff just terrible or does football have injuries?
Yeah. I mean, it's 100% injury sport.
Yeah.
It's a car collision sport. So that was some of the news. Then the other news was that the Seahawks raised two guys from the practice squad. They both play the same position, which is not a good sign because the position is inside linebacker. Jamie Sheriff gets raised. Patty O'Connell gets raised. I don't think Ernest Jones is going to play in back-to-back weeks against his former teams.
No, if you want to have an idea of like what the inactive list is going to look like, those game day, the day before, like the raise from the practice squads are big tells. The fact that they raised two guys at the same position at linebacker where Tyrese Knight's already out, probably a clear indication that Ernest Jones is not going to play. I wonder if they had like they made a kind of deal with him to let him play in that Rams game last week. That obviously meant a lot to him. But luckily, who are we worried about covering in the middle of the field against the Titans?
I have to warn you, Jeff. I know there are at least two Titan fans amongst us in this little soiree. Yeah, there's at least two. You know, I don't know if they deserve to be booed. I mean,
well, you guys shouldn't have traded Ernest Jones to us for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty good trade. And the Titans couldn't do us the favor of holding on to Tyler Lockett, Quandre Diggs, just for a few more weeks so we could have a little reunion with those guys.
The Titans are kind of like a funeral home for like NFL players.
For
like,
Seahawks players.
For Seahawks players, for NFL players in general. And sorry if someone's here. players kind of go there when their career is about to die. And it's been like a history of this where they got Jamal Adams and Quandre. And yeah, a lot of us were excited to see Tyler Lockett in this kind of game when we booked this trip, but he ended up with Peden with the Raiders. Doesn't seem to be going much better. So
no, it doesn't. And look, I mean, I think the Titans are kind of a funny team to me, because not funny, but like 1-9, and you're like, like, who's on this team that scares you? And they have Calvin Ridley was lost, the receiver to injury.
Yeah.
Then Alik, how do you pronounce his last name, Derek? Ayoman, are you sure about that? I don't know if I can trust your judgment.
He's Canadian.
Ayoman, he is Canadian. He's out. So they're down like Xavier Restrepo, who played with
Cam Ward in Miami.
Cam Ward in Miami is going to play in this game. That'll be an interesting thing. But this Titans team somehow, some way, has been in a lot of games against the Rams, against the Chargers, against like the Colts. Like, they've been in games against good teams late in games. And honestly, Cam Ward just played a lot better against that Texans defense than Josh Allen did.
Yeah, and since Brian Callahan got fired, they have been a little scrappier. But some of the games you mentioned, I'm going to push back on. The Rams was week one.
I want a new person in the seat.
Switch. And week one is an outlier. We saw it with the Seahawks this year. We saw the Raiders beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
Week one is weird. And so that was one of the games. And some of the games you mentioned were close, but they end up getting blown out. So what happens with a team like this that lacks talent, they can be close for three quarters. And then the fourth quarter, the talent tends to win over.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot with bad young teams. They call them three-quarter teams.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm looking out here, and I didn't know how this part was going to go. Everyone's actually watching the show, which is great. But you don't have to. You feel free to, like, interact amongst yourselves. You're welcome to continue watching, but I don't want people to, like, feel like they're rude if they're just talking amongst themselves. So, Jeff, you feel so good about this game. How confident do you feel about a Seahawks team that's coming off of a four-turnover game, has turned the ball over in every game other than once all year? Are you sure?
It's such an odd matchup, because they had to get, they put so much into that game last week. And even though they ended up losing, how do you get up for this game? And it's one of those things I've been battling all week. How is Mike McDonald going to get these guys out? And he's been really good at it. They've been really good on the road. They've been really good at just playing. They haven't played down to their competition like their predecessor did. And
a shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we'll go there. But Mike's done a really good job just getting them ready to play bad teams, getting them fired up. And with the Seahawks, when we see them get going, their talent just wins out, and they just look bigger and faster than everyone. And when they played Arizona and they played Washington, I was very nervous before those games. Even New Orleans, me and you were a little nervous. And then the game starts and it's 28-0 in 3 minutes. And I don't know if it'll be like that, but I think eventually the Seahawks are just going to run away with it.
If I told you this was the largest point spread in the history of the Seahawks franchise on the road, would you believe me?
No.
As far as I know right now, that's the case.
Is that more about how good this team is viewed by the bettors, or is that how bad they think the Titans are?
I think we're going to find out. I mean, look, if I wanted to paint the biggest, you know, hey, be cautious about tomorrow story, and I'm not, like, it's a 1-9 team. The Seahawks should win this game. But I would say, all right, coming off the most intense game of the season that didn't go your way, don't have your middle linebacker play, don't have your second backup middle linebacker. Tyrese Knight is out with a concussion. Have Patrick O'Connell and Drake Thomas, have two guys from Montana colleges start, Ty Okada and Patrick O'Connell. Oh. And then have, you know, potentially some injuries at the receiver spot, potentially some injuries as well. And then have the game in Nashville where, I don't know, is anybody having fun in Nashville? I think
I might have last night.
I know you did. I know you did. I was there for that. So I've seen some of the guys. I mean, I've seen the guys walking around. I'm not sure they're like partying. I'm not sure they're doing what George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb did in Vegas, but it might be a little distracting. And then you got to go and you got to take a team seriously that honestly is hard to take seriously. So it would not surprise me if this is one of those games where you're just like, come on, guys, come on. Like, don't do this. And then maybe by the fourth quarter, they get the separation and take it home.
Well, I'm glad you brought everyone here to tell us reasons we're going to have an uncomfortable game tomorrow.
I'm just being honest. I mean, this is a
reality. Well, I think the matchup that would scare me the most, and it's not just because this guy shares the same name as me, but the Titans' best player is Jeffrey Simmons. And if Zabel doesn't play, which I would guess he doesn't, we now might have Christian Haynes, the backup center, Oluwatimi, and some of our guys' favorite player, Anthony Bradford, trying to block Jeffrey Simmons. And we saw how that interior line went last year. They were blown up plays before it started. And we know how much the Seahawks want to run the ball and how Sam Darnold did last week getting pressured. If there's one thing that would scare me in this game, by far, it's that.
I got a little chat here in live chat that I got to read out for Dana that said, Brian is trying to piss off Dana with his Montana slander. Where are you, Dana? I was just making comments about players from Montana, and I didn't see where you were. It wasn't a positive comment. Okay. You'll have your chance here in a minute. So, Jeff, let's talk about Nashville for a second.
Oh, yeah.
So this is my first time in the state, first time in the city. It's amazing. It's everything people say it is. What was your impression of last night? Who stood out to you? If we're talking about like players of the game for last night, who was a player of the game?
Are we talking about people we were with?
Yes.
The guy who lost his shoes.
Uh-huh.
I've known Derek for quite a while, and most of our relationship was online. So I wasn't sure what we were going to get in real.
That sounds concerning, but go on.
Well, that's most of my relationship with all of you. When I live in Toronto and I tell my wife, hey, I'm going to this Tennessee. Who are you going with? Well, my friends on the internet. That's pretty hard to explain to like my in-laws and my friends. You're going to Seattle? You're a podcaster for a team. It's hard to explain, but
it is a little odd. It is a little odd.
But our buddy Derek, he came in hot. I didn't know what to expect with him, and he was the star of the show last night. He was a blast to be around.
All right, I think we got to bring that guy on stage next. Derek, come over here. Stand next to your pal. Walk around this way. Jeff, we might get you back, but for now, I'm getting the boot. You're getting the boot.
All right, I've been waiting all night for this.
All right. All night in Canadian time is 10 minutes, apparently. So, Derek Gebbe, who I think I've misspelled your name and mispronounced it a million times. You've been more on the show this year. How's that treating you? Is your Q score raising?
It's odd.
Yeah.
I will say I enjoy the post game shows a lot. It's just a good way to get off the cuff thoughts, and you don't have to prepare for anything. You're just reacting to what you're seeing in real time and how you're reacting to the game.
So I gotta out Derek in front of this entire room. All right. Like there's a few things people need to know about Derek as Seahawks fans. So Derek, in our group chat during the Cardinals game, when they were up, like however much they were up, what, 38-7 at halftime, what did you say then?
I said, wow, these turnovers might be a problem.
No, 38-7. What did you say? You said, we're going to the Super Bowl.
I did. Okay, I did say we're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
And then in the second half, when things started crumbling a little bit, they only won by 22 or whatever it was, you said what?
I said, contenders don't turn the ball over three times.
Oh, that's such a bad take. and then like the next week, the worst thing happens and you get to be the Seahawks fan. Like, I think it's a rough way to fan when you basically you're winning on your take when the team does something bad.
Yeah. It's not a good spot to be in, but
yeah,
I get the chance to tell you, I told you so.
You do. A lot of people relish that. Not as many people as my wife. Like, she really likes that. But then you land here. How long did it take you before you started talking shit about Sam Darnold?
A couple hours.
No, really?
I was egged on by Jeff and Evan and everyone.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I got to know this. Are you happy he's our quarterback?
I am.
Okay.
Pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
Going into the year, look, I think he was kind of the obvious choice in free agency. Once you lose Geno, he was the clear guy to take. But I thought there was a very real possibility that he regresses and goes back to pre-2024 Sam Darnold when he was amazing with the Vikings. I thought he could regress, and we're not seeing that. He's obviously played at a very high level, MVP level, until the last couple of weeks, and now the turnovers are creeping in. And I do fear that the turnovers, they've avoided, you know, letting it affect them too much, but now last week was a real disaster.
All right, show of hands for people that are here. Do you think Sam Darnold's turnovers are going to keep the Seahawks from winning in the playoffs? Yes, if you raise your hand if you think yes. Oh, we got like a pretty small group, like maybe a little scared. Is your hand raised?
It is.
I didn't see it raised.
Okay.
Put it up.
It's raised.
All right, you got to own these takes.
It's raised.
Booze rained down on Derek. So is that just you honestly just think he is a guy that has turnover problems and they're not going to get solved?
Yeah, because it's been his whole career. And again, even in the early part of this season, he threw picks, he had fumbles. It didn't affect the team. They found ways to win games. But you play a team like the Rams, you play a team like the Bucks, I think those turnovers are going to come to bite you in the ass.
So how much have you looked at the turnovers from last week? Like, have you, like, just in terms of how much do you put on him versus protection versus Kubiak's play calls? How much do you think is squarely on Sam Darnold?
I think most of them are on Sam Darnold. Mm. I mean, you look at the first one, he's holding the ball too long. He's running around. He makes a fadeaway pass that ball should have never been thrown. It's that moment where you're like, wow, that is the Sam Darnold that we have seen in the early part of his career. And you're like, I never want to see that Sam Darnold again. And to his credit, I think he's gotten better. But when those moments show up in big time games, it's a concern.
Well, so here's one of the things I would put up there that has caught my attention is, for the first seven or so games of the season, he had the lowest turnover-worthy play rate of any quarterback in the NFL. Not like better than before, the lowest. In fact, going into the Rams game, he had the same turnover-worthy play rate as Matt Stafford. And he was better in terms of against the blitz and against these and when under pressure. So that game blows all that out. But why are we saying that one situation, that's not potentially he was put in some bad moments, maybe he had a bad game? Why do we assume that he's just going to regress into that kind of
player? I certainly don't think he's going to be that quarterback that he was last week for the rest of the season. But this is a guy who throughout his career has always had turnover issues, and I don't see that getting resolved in year 8 or whatever it might be for him. But look, like I said, he played at an MVP level for the first 6-7 weeks of the year. There's no reason he can't get back to that and limit the turnovers, and hopefully, you know, the one or two that he does throw are limited in the impact.
Well, we got someone in chat here that's saying, I put absolutely zero value in the lowest turnover-worthy play stat. Do you?
No, that's a good stat. I like that stat.
Why is that a good stat?
Well, one, it's a rate stat, not a counting stat, right? Guys, you throw the ball more, you're going to have more turnovers in general. So you average that out by doing it per play. But turnover worthy play is also, if a guy drops a clear interception, you throw it right to his hands and he drops it. You know, that should be quantified in some way that says, hey, that's a bad play with the quarterback. And so turnover worthy these plays does that.
Yeah, I think it's actually a really valuable stat that they've added in the past, you know, 5 years, 7 years, whatever it's been. And it has been indicative of how a player plays and what's going to come.
Right.
And so my question, and I admit it, I ask a lot of bad questions. I asked a bad question of Mike McDonald this week, and he kind of laughed at me because I was like, all right, 3rd and 3 happened twice in that Rams game, like second half. On those 3rd and 3 plays, you passed both times. One of them was a turnover, an interception. The other one was a sack that almost turned into a strip sack turnover. The Seahawks have converted 100% of the 3rd and 3s that they've run the ball this year. 100%. And they passed the ball the majority of the times when it's 3rd and 3. So I laid that at Mike McDonald's feet, and he knew what I was going to ask. I was like, so are you guys going to lean into this physical identity more? Like, you potentially, like, maybe not put all the weight on the shoulders of your quarterback, take less risk? He's like, well, I'm not going to tell you and everyone else what we're going to do. But he also was like, yeah, the coaches own some of that, man.
And it's something they got to lean on more. I mean, if you want to be a contender and win games in the playoffs, you're going to have that run game. And I think at times this year they've tried to lean on it and it just hasn't been there. And we've seen some signs of life, I think, over the past few weeks. But it's something that they'll have to lean on for sure.
So another kind of storyline this week, Ken Walker. Ken Walker, actually, I'll have to save some of this for Evan, because I want to talk to Evan about Ken Walker. Evan, you're up next, by the way, buddy. You got 2 minutes, and then you're up here. You're in this seat. Yes, you. Yes, you. Well, get a drink, dude. Hurry up. Make it happen. So they're talking about playing Ken Walker a little bit more. He also has a glute injury, which is a tush situation. It sounds like he's going to play. Are you wanting them to turn more to the run game? As an analytics guy, do you want them to lean more on the run to take more pressure off of Darnold and
no,
maybe reduce turnovers?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Why?
I wouldn't say that because you're look what Sam Darnold did for the first half of the season. It's like, you know, you had that ability. You had that. You had to hold on.
Okay, I'll hold on.
You had that ceiling.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be a contender in the playoffs, you're going to have to hit that ceiling and be successful with Sam Darnold. I also just don't think this run game is that good. And like, they need it and have to be able to rely on it. I'm not sure if they will. But to the point about Ken Walker, I want to see more Ken Walker and less Zach Charbonnet. I'm fully out on Zach Charbonnet at this point.
Wow. Wow. That won't be a popular opinion in the locker room, but I understand. So the thing that's kind of interesting about what you're saying, though, is you think the Seahawks are going to get capped by Sam Darnold's turnover problem,
yeah,
but you're not wanting to mitigate that turnover problem.
Because I think by trying to mitigate it, you're just making your team worse.
Interesting. You think just running the ball more makes your team worse?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Does anyone want this team to run more? Show of hands. Anyone want? Interesting. We're doing live polling here. I would say about like a third, maybe a third of people in here want them to run more. Has Evan Hill gotten his drink yet? He's still wandering around. So Derek, what's been your best Nashville experience so far?
Ooh, brunch this morning, probably.
Really?
Yeah, that was really good.
It was really good. Where'd we go?
Biscuit Love, is that?
Biscuit Love,
yeah.
It was solid.
Got a great biscuit sandwich.
Yeah.
Egg, sausage,
got
cheese.
Bow nuts, they're called?
Bow nuts, which bonuts? I still understand what the B. Was it biscuit dough and into a donut?
Maybe that's a good guess. I actually hadn't put the thought into it, but that makes some sense. Solid?
Solid. Solid. Also, dinner last night, the porker.
Yeah, the peg porker.
Peg leg porker. Is that where we went last night? Leg porker. Fantastic barbecue. Amazing ribs.
How much of it actually stayed in your system?
That's an off the air question, Brian. That's an off the air question.
Oh, Derek. We didn't know Derek was such a lush until we got here. But my gosh, this guy hits it hard. All right, come over here. Come on, stop. No, this way. This way. Too many wires. We have OSHA hazards all over the place. I don't need a lawsuit for the DraftKings. All right, thank you, Derek. Appreciate you, dude. Where's your drink?
It's being made
your
somewhere.
Your hair's
off
the cock.
I do not even care.
There you go. I mean, as someone that doesn't have hair, I like care passionately about your hair looking.
Oh my
best.
Gosh, this is a full setup and everything.
So Evan Hill.
What's up, brother?
How you doing, dude?
I'm doing so good. I cannot believe people paid money to be here.
I think they're thinking the same thing right now.
We love you guys. We're
we
so grateful
we do.
For you.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
We love you.
Yes.
The one person on Twitter who loves me.
So you joined this like episode 4 or so. Like Jeff and I started. We had some kind of like wacko platform with like a ghost dude kind of running it.
So funny.
It was really like still up there. Anyone wants to go Real Hawk Talk episode 1?
It's quite humiliating, actually.
It is.
It's a rewind in history.
As are almost everything that we do. But then we kind of we had this idea of like, OK, I think Jeff and I maybe are too straight. And we need somebody that's
in what way?
Meaning like we're not with a straight man.
We need
somebody to be like adding a little color.
Sure.
And
sure.
I was like, Evan's kind of weird.
Yeah, a little. Yeah.
Evan's kind of weird. So let's
understatement
add
of the year.
Evan and Nathan into the mix.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And it's kind of.
I sent you a blind email.
You did. You did. I've gotten a lot of blind emails. I don't know why I said yes to you.
I don't know why.
I did. And dude, you said something to me on the way here.
What did I say? I said lots of things.
I know you did. People should know Evan is like battling like significant pain to be here. Literally.
I am. Unfortunately.
We're very excited that he made it, but he's in some pain. But you said that when we started doing this,
yeah,
like you loved it. We had a lot of fun, but the last few years, there's been times where you just didn't want to really talk about this team.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, there were, I mean, I don't think I was the only one who felt that way.
No, that's what I want you to share.
I mean, I want to be very clear to everybody here. Like we don't get paid a dime. Like we're just
fans.
He does.
And I offer them money, but they don't take it.
But we don't take money. No. And this is purely for passion. Like
yes.
I'm just a Seahawks fan.
Yes.
I grew up in Seattle. I grew up in in Redmond, if any of you guys are on the east side, from the east side, Redmond High School, Mustangs, they Matador. Suck. Matador nachos, like, you know, colored my childhood. But, you know, this is it's just pure, like, love for football and this team, and they occupy way too much of my emotional energy and bandwidth, and that's my life. So but I'm
like,
here.
But, like, talk about like, the things that were place that were keeping you from enjoying this.
Yes. Team. Can we rewind for a second, folks? Do you remember the Dallas Cowboys playoff game?
He's going to take us there.
I have some trauma.
Yeah, you do.
I'm working on healing. I've brought this up in therapy once or twice.
I think people should realize for a second. I got to interrupt you.
Yeah.
People should know that the unhinged version of Evan that you see on the show from time to time is like a tenth of what we actually see off the show. So like that particular game, go on.
I just, you know, I think I'm just, let me zoom out for a second. I'm very, very grateful for the state of the Seahawks today. I'm so excited about what Mike McDonald is doing with this franchise. I think we evaluated this in, you know, a couple of off seasons ago, and, you know, they did a super thorough candidate search, and we're all super impatient. And I remember talking about it with Jeff and being like, when are they going to pick a guy? But they were being so thorough, so slow, even though they were delayed in the process. And one of the, I think the major questions we had about Mike McDonald, which I think was legitimate at the time, was, he's a young guy. He's a couple years older than me, which is absolutely scary, making $10 million a year. Kudos to him.
At least.
But can he build a culture, which I acknowledge, you know, in a humble way, like something that Pete Carroll was so excellent at, right, with establishing a winning, healthy, enthusiastic culture in Seattle for the first time in a long time. And I think Mike has done a masterful job. If you see the locker room videos of the team, like jumping up, like mission over bullshit is MOB is the acronym in the locker room. The vibes are immaculate. And I'm just so grateful for the state of this team today. Like it's, I hope you guys feel it too. Like I'm thinking more about this football team than I should. It's borderline unhealthy. I struggle to get work done in my fucking 9-to-5 job because I'm thinking about this football team, and it's all genuinely just because we love this team. Yeah. And it's special. Yeah. I fucking love that it brings us together. You have to understand, guys, like Brian is one of my best friends nowadays. I have a ton of best friends in this crowd, all developed relationships over Twitter. Over Twitter, the worst website in the world, right? Yeah. And they're like some of my close friends. And it's just, I think, the beauty of this football team and this community. And I'm just grateful. So that's a tangent, but.
No, it's where I wanted you to go, because I'll even admit this.
Yeah.
I was so excited for that game last week.
Oh, I was too.
I mean, build up to it. I could not, like, there was so much content to consume. I wanted to listen to everything, read everything. I wanted to, like, every take. I wanted to, like, put a little bookmark on.
Absolutely.
And it didn't go the Seahawks way. But I also didn't leave that game feeling down about the Hawks.
Absolutely not.
I did leave that game spent. Sure. I was exhausted. I also got sick. But in addition, I had a hard time, like, consuming content about the Seahawks this week, because I felt like everything I was going to hear was going to be like a little like Derek, you know, like a little Derek.
Who's Derek? I don't know.
I don't know. Like this guy.
Freaking loser. I'm just kidding. I love you.
No, we love Derek.
I love you.
But like it was going to be all about Sam Darnold is exposed. It was going to be all about. But honestly, the little bits that I got, Evan.
Yeah.
Maybe it was my filtering, but it was pretty positive.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I actually saw a lot of Rams fans that were kind of annoyed. Like, hey, why is everyone saying we were lucky to have won? Like, we won. Like, we played well.
And yeah.
Give us credit. And all this stuff's coming up about the Seahawks defense and Mike McDonald and the fact that this team went on the road, which no one even talks about. That was a road game.
Yeah.
Turns the ball over four times.
A Super Bowl contender, by the way.
Yeah. And
unfortunately.
And should have won it if the punt doesn't go out where it goes out.
Like, and if Jason Myers hits the kick.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to. Yeah, I did want to.
Unfortunate.
I mean, he's
it was 61 yards, please.
But that's the new 50 yard line. And if
sure.
To be the sixth highest paid player on the team, he should be able to make that.
He's up for contract extension soon, by the way. We got to have stability at the kicker position.
I need to know this by a show of hands. Who wants Jason Myers to be extended?
Come on, let's go. Raise your hand.
Raise your hand. Oh, my God.
Do it courageously, authentically.
Like, it's like half.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I see some
hell
strong handshakes going on.
Hell yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yeah, right. I'm not alone. No, we have a radicalized group in support of our kicker.
It's true.
Highest scorer in Seahawks history.
It's surprising.
It's a true stat. Surprising. I'm not making that up.
That's not where I would go.
Real quick.
Yes.
I was intermingling in the crowd, and I heard Derek mentioning his shoes.
Yes.
Did you tell the story of what happened?
No, let's share this Derek story.
Okay, I'm gonna settle in everybody for a second here. I love you, Derek, but I'm gonna embarrass you. Derek, raise your hand, please. Derek, raise your hand. Derek's one of my favorite contributors to Real Hawk Talk.
He's actually younger than you. You don't like that, though.
He is younger than me. Unfortunately, he has such good hair, and it's like a competitive thing on the podcast. So I love you. I'm grateful for you. But so we booked this trip, guys, and we kind of shelled out some cash for a really nice Airbnb. And I had not met Derek in person until this weekend. Okay, so this was my first time meeting Derek, along with several other people. Derek online, if you follow him, what's the handle again? Derek,
DERYCK underscore. DERYCKG underscore.
Underscore.
Like the worst handle ever.
That's easily memorizable, just like our Airbnb door code. That's great. 17 letters. Wonderful.
Yeah, Cashman has an underscore too.
Wonderful.
It's terrible.
Derek has this like persona online where he's like super statistical.
Analytical.
Like super level-headed take.
He works in tech.
Yeah, who works in tech? Yeah. And is like super level-headed, okay? Derek last night, I cannot tell you how many rounds of shots he bought me. I'm 30, folks. Okay. Like, I'm entering retirement here, and this guy just keeps coming back with some interesting drinks. Okay. Brian's taking shots. We get back to the Airbnb. We walk into the Airbnb. The Airbnb code, by the way, has like 17 numbers.
That's a lot.
It's the most weird, bizarre thing I've ever experienced in my entire life.
Do you feel safer because of that?
No, absolutely not. Okay. It's a struggle to get into the door. But somewhere between Derek actually, so let me rephrase this. Derek actually fell asleep face down on the rug last night in the living room at 4 a.m. till 4 a.m. Okay. And he spent some time outside last night, I think reflecting on his behavior that night and like
reliving
maybe saying some prayers. I don't know what was happening, but he lost a pair of shoes somewhere between the Uber and the Airbnb, which is like 5 feet of distance, and they're completely gone. I have no idea what happened to them. So we've been thinking through all these theories of like, they're not in the house anywhere. They're not in the garbage can outside. Like, what did you do with your pair of shoes? And I don't even know why I'm telling the story, but I thought it was so funny.
It was. I don't know how funny it was. It's very bizarre.
It's so bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
They got hijacked.
So I'm going to bring back to a totally unrelated topic.
Yeah.
But I got to get your take on it, because the only thing that comes close to our love for the Seahawks is our hatred for the 49ers. Yes?
I fucking hate that football team.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, can you cheer if you fucking hate the San Francisco 49ers for me? Fuck that football team.
Yes.
They're fans too, let's be honest.
Yes. So they sign Brandon Ayuk to a $120 million contract.
Hell yeah, they did.
They turned down like trades of like second round picks from the Patriots. He turned down a contract with the Patriots. And so they signed him, this big deal. Literally had a deal in place. The story is Kyle Shanahan ran up to the GM's office, John Lynch, and said, "Don't do it. Sign him. We need him." And so they turned down the trade. They signed him to this massive deal.
Yeah.
He comes back. He does not play well. He then gets injured and is out for the whole year. But it's like, all right, well, he'll come back this year sometime. Well, he gets to the point where he should be coming back. And then a week goes by and 2 weeks goes by. He's gone. Like, he's nowhere. And then the report comes out yesterday, maybe the first Diana Rossini report that was actually news, that Brandon Ayuk has had his contract guarantees voided.
Very rarely. That's a very rare thing to happen.
Right?
It does not happen often.
And not only that, but he's told the Players Association he doesn't want to fight it.
Yes. Yes.
What is going on?
I think there's like one of two potential situations here. Number one, he so badly wants to be released and doesn't want to be a 49er anymore that he's willing to forfeit any sort of like legal contract considerations with his agent in terms of like the dispute process with the NFLPA. And I think attached to that is like so attached to number one, option number one is he may think that another team is going to pay him an equivalent of the money that was forfeited in guarantees, which by the way is like $25 million.
Is that going to really happen?
Absolutely not.
With the injury he just went through?
It's definitely not going to happen, especially with, I think, some of the rumors and reports about some of his willingness to participate in team activities, be late to meetings, like basic stuff, right? That is not like super commonly talked about because it's just assumed behavior, right? So that's option number one. Option number two is he doesn't care about football anymore, and he might not play football at all.
But why wouldn't if that was the case, why wouldn't he just?
I don't think option two is likely.
Yeah.
I think option number one is he's probably overestimating his worth as a free agent. But owners talk, franchises talk, head coaches talk to each other. There have been incidents of blackballing in the NFL, right? And it's like, I don't think, you know, his injury history in combination with, I think, some of his salary expectations. He was one of the highest paid receivers in football.
Yeah. He was a really, really good player.
He had almost 1,400 receiving yards in 2023.
He was really good.
He was a stud, frankly, for a year, and we were kind of concerned about it. But it's interesting because I'm seeing a lot of Niner fans online actually point the finger at John Lynch.
Really? I haven't seen that.
Yes.
What are they saying?
There's been some, like, mismanagement of, like, player relationships that they're pointing to. And I, like, don't have the full list because I don't follow them intimately. But, like, I guess my point is, like, fingers are being pointed at John Lynch and management. And particularly because some of their drafts have been, like, a little hit or miss recently.
They've been really bad.
Exactly. And I'm being charitable about it. But, like, I think thankfully there's no John Schneider haters in this bar at all.
Oh my God, Derek's having a tough night. Derek's catching all the strays tonight. All right.
But John Lynch is getting a little heat. So.
Yeah, well, and so my question is, as a group that unanimously dislikes the 49ers, right? Yeah. And their fans.
Yeah.
Is this good news or bad news? Because like, I'll just let you answer that question. Is it good news or bad news if you hate the 49ers? Is this bad for the 49ers?
I do think it's bad for the 49ers.
Why?
And I'm going to say something. I know that's the unpopular take here. People will be like, oh, you know, it invalidates $25 million or whatever, which is fair. That is like free salary cap space that they can now use as a credit in 2026. But zooming out, like big picture perspective, I think people forget how good Brandon Ayuk was pre-injury. And like there was real concern that this guy was going to be doing damage to us in this rivalry for a long time. Like he was considered a top five receiver.
Yep.
And I think to zoom out and take a top five receiver out of the picture for the Niners in the rivalry, I think that's a good thing for the Seahawks. And I think that's a bad thing for the Niners. I just think the injury, like, you know, what's the word? Like jeopardized our expectations a little bit. But I think this is my take. The 49ers having less really potentially good talent is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Ayuk was not only a great receiver, he was one of the best blocking receivers in the NFL. He's a big part of their run game.
Yes.
And they have got Ricky Pearsall, who I think has stepped in and played well for them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, you can't just replace a Brandon Ayuk. It's
you
not
can't.
An easy thing.
So you
I
can't.
Think in that regard, it's not good for the 49ers. In the other sense, though, they're getting out of this contract that I think they would love to be out of.
Sure. I would just say, like, people overestimate, like, the worthiness of cap space, right? Like, you can always roll it over to the next year. And there's so many bad contracts. Like, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but let's not assume that the 49ers used that cap space effectively.
Well, when's the last time, you know, the 49ers signed a free agent that was as good as Brandon Ayuk? I can't think of one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
They traded for Christian McCaffrey, but they didn't sign him.
Bryce Huff was a free agent acquisition, right?
No, they traded for him. That was a trade.
You're right.
So, I mean, I don't think it's as easy to use the cap space. Yeah. I think acquiring somebody like that's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. At the same time, like, that Juwan Jennings is in the last year of his deal.
He is.
So he's going to be gone. He's been unhappy.
He wants a big bag, too.
And so I'm kind of like...
They're an aging football team with, like, a lot of stars that we, you know, have frankly been terrorized for many years by. But, like, yeah. Nick Bosa...
Yeah.
Injury. Yeah.
George Kittle.
Fred Warner, injury. George Kittle's kind of up there. Like, this is a team that... I don't know. I know Kyle Shanahan's getting like a ton of coach of the year type of consideration, but this is an aging football team that has had a lot of draft misses recently. And I just think there's a lot of equivalences here to, like, frankly, the late stage Pete Carroll Seahawks.
Are we underestimating the challenge for the Seahawks facing the 49ers later in the year?
No, we're going to kick their ass.
Okay.
We're going to kick their ass.
I will tell you, my favorite moment last year doing this for the first time where I get to go to the stadium and then do the post game from the field.
Yeah.
Was going on that stadium.
Oh,
Can
I say one thing real quick? You know who are Super Bowl contenders this year? Your Seattle Seahawks. And do you know where the Super Bowl is this year?
The only thing better than lifting, like eating a turkey leg on their field, would be lifting a Lombardi trophy.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if the Seahawks won a Super Bowl there?
Can you imagine if I got you guys credentials for Super Bowl?
Oh.
Can you? You're going to be like that dog with the cigar in his mouth that asks those ridiculous questions. That's going to be you.
I would celebrate and gloat so hard. There's like a 50% chance I'd get murdered. Like, actually.
Well, yeah, that is a legitimate. Although I will tell you, as someone who has now been there for my first game, time I attended, it was half empty. Like
the 49er faithful,
the faithful, it was half empty.
What in the world? What a shock!
Yeah,
a shock.
I think we gotta get Dana over here.
Dana OG. People are sick of hearing my voice. Dana, we love you.
So, Evan. Last question for you.
Yeah.
How do you feel like this game's going to go tomorrow?
You know, this is not exactly a Tennessee juggernaut.
No.
They have a lot of struggles. This is a coaching staff that is a little bit dead man walking, to be honest with you. Love the interview you did, by the way, with the Titans. Is it the Athletic football writer?
Yeah.
He was really good.
Teron.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly a juggernaut, but I don't know how this is going to be received in person, but I'm going to say it anyways. I'm getting over this, like, Pete Carroll PTSD to a certain extent where we would play down to, like, the level of teams. But Mike McDonald is, like, we're beating the shit out of bad football teams, frankly. Texans.
Yeah.
Cardinals. Like, we are doing things that is starting to give me a little bit more confidence heading into bad football games. So I think there's going to be elements of frustration. I think the Seahawks are going to win. I think the Seahawks are going to win not in a close fashion. I think it's going to be like 34-13. I think Cam Ward's going to struggle. I will say this. The Titans have a very good rushing defense. They're top 10 in stopping the run. This is something that Seattle's been a little bit inconsistent about this year. Is K-9 playing tomorrow? Is there an official status on that?
I don't think it's official, but I expect him to play. Yeah, okay. I expect him to play.
It's so amazing. Can we just say something? It's amazing having a credentialed reporter in the house.
Yeah.
Can we give it up for Seahawks who gave you media credentials?
Dave Pearson.
Too?
Yeah.
Dave Pearson. Dave, I love you.
We love you, Dave Pearson.
I know you love me, Dave.
All right. Dude.
That's my record.
Been fun. Dana, you're in the hot seat. It's time.
Come join the hot seat, please.
Thank you, Evan Hill.
Of course.
So, Dana O'Gorman. Not everybody knows why Dana O'Gorman was added to the roster. She was not a first four episodes addition. This is much later. This was during the Let Russ Cook kind of era where there was this civil war going on among Seahawks fans. Either you were a Pete Carroll backer or you were a Russell Wilson backer. And this this was, I don't get political on this show. This was political. It divided families. Like, it divided people. And I was divided with my own crew. Evan, Nathan, there were times I could not stand to see their stupid faces because they kept talking about Russell Wilson. There was literally an episode where Nathan told me, okay, I think Russell Wilson should get to make all the personnel decisions the way LeBron does. And I'm like, you're serious. What are you talking about? Like, and I could not fathom the divide that was going on. And so Dana, who not only knows what she's talking about with football, but also actually enjoyed the Seahawks and was not constantly tearing them down. I was like, we needed some of that energy. And so, Dana, you are one of the saviors of keeping this crew
I don't know
together. How are you doing, Dana?
I'm good. I want to add my part of this story, though.
Yes.
Because I get a DM from Brian, and he's like, hey, Dana, have you ever thought about maybe you want to come on the show? And I was like, sure. I've watched your show forever. I've done my own podcast for years at that point. I'm like, sure, why not? I thought he meant for one show. And so I came on the show. We had a great time. It was so fun. The next thing I know, I am added to the group DM, which is an interesting place to live. Let me just tell you that, right? It is a very interesting place to live. And I was, they're like, okay, and this is what we're doing. I'm like, oh, I'm here now. Like, I didn't realize it was for good at that point. But I, what now, 5 years later, it's a
clingy group. It's a clingy group. Okay. Like, once you're in, you're in.
Yeah.
So, Dana, you've been to Nashville before, yes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What have been the things that you've done before that you'd recommend? What have been the things you've done now that you like?
You know, when I was here, it's been quite a few years since I was here before. And this place has, I think, quadrupled in size. Like, it looks so different than it was even just a few years ago. But one of our favorite things about Nashville is the food, for sure. There's some amazing food in this town. We went to Buttermilk Ranch. Has anyone been out there for brunch yet? It was so good. But let me just give you a little tip. We got on the wait list at 8:30 in the morning and finally got in at 11. Just so you know, it took a minute, but it was so good. We had such a good time kind of wandering all over. So the people here are so friendly. It's so laid back compared to like Vegas or something.
You know? Oh, God. Yeah.
So
New Orleans and Nashville are above Vegas for sure, as far as an adult playground.
Yeah.
So have you seen any Seahawks fans here?
Just one or two.
Oh, my God.
I know. They're everywhere. The airport was crawling with them when we got here. It was so fun. And I think it's because this is one of those destination places, right? Like, there's certain cities that away fans go to. This is definitely one of them. It's such a good time here, always.
Yeah. It's fun to see Seahawks fans travel.
Yeah.
And I think, like, people that haven't done it.
Yeah.
When you get to go into the stadium and kind of take over and have that feeling, I think it's a special thing. Like, it's definitely worth it. I didn't do it for a long time. And then my buddy and I, we'd start picking one game a year.
Yep.
So you kind of start small, but you've gone to how many this year now?
Just two so far this year, but we usually go to quite a handful. When you don't live in Seattle, and I luckily live right in the middle of the country, it's real easy to get to a lot of these away games. And so it's fun. Now, I will tell you that not all away games are the same. Not all fans are as nice and as welcoming as some other fans are. But I would say Nashville probably is one of my top places to come. People are great. I will also say, if you guys need an away game that you know is going to be fun and the people are nice and they're just happy you're there, go to New Orleans. If you can go to New Orleans for a football game, those people, I got high-fived by more Saints fans when the Seahawks got a touchdown than I did from Seahawks fans. So it's such a good time, and it's so fun. And it's fun because you start to see the same people that go to a lot of these away games. Yes. You get to see them over and over again, and you run into them, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that's really cool here. I mean, once we're done with the show, we're going to get to meet all of these folks here. It's like a community that builds, and you know, they're generally nice, normal people that you want to know as well, which is great. But where are you on this season? Because I know we've kind of talked before. Last year was rough for you.
It was.
It was a rough transition from Pete Carroll to Mike McDonald. It's almost the inverse of Evan's experience, right?
Yeah.
And so now this year, though, like, feels like maybe a little bit of difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have to admit that the reason Brian brought me in is because I was, you know, so positive. And then Pete left and Dana got real grumpy. Like, I know that Pete Carroll is polarizing. I love and adore the man. Do I want him as my head coach anymore? No. But do I love him as a person? Absolutely, right? Love him. And so it was hard for me. And then when we were looking at coaches, I was like, you guys know Dan Quinn's available, right? Dan,
yeah,
I was all about Dan Quinn. Why? Because I love the defense, right? So I was having a hard time. When Mike McDonald came, I was like, he's kind of boring. He didn't have a lot of spark to him. I needed a little something, right?
Yep.
And it took a while. But now, so that first season was rough. I didn't, obviously, with the offense last year, such a disaster. There were so many problems, right? I just couldn't get behind it. But now, oh my God, this defense is so beautiful. Could you guys be more happy about this defense? I mean, just insane. So good. And the offense has been, you know, developing and coming along so good. And JSN out of nowhere. I keep thinking about the numbers that we picked for JSN and how low we had those.
Oh my God. I mean, he's blown by. I mean, I think all of our predictions.
Except for maybe Josh, maybe. I can't remember.
You know, one of the things that I love about defense, why you and I are defensive people. Mm-hmm. We love defense. You can have a great offense, and it doesn't have to feel like there's a lot of effort. Like
right.
A lot of great offenses, it feels like they just kind of glide down the field and they're just putting the ball. It's exciting, but you cannot have a great defense without unbelievable effort.
Right.
Like the commitment, the physicality,
yep.
The sacrifice that's involved with being a good defense. And so it feels different when you have a defense that goes out there and is selling out their yep. bodies each and every play, each and every week.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the point where Mike McDonald's saying is, we're going to play a brand of football that nobody else wants to play.
Right.
And what have we seen week after week after week? The other teams either not meeting it, or even in the case of the Rams, a whole host of guys getting hurt.
After, yeah.
Like they put three guys on IR, and I'm not saying that. Oh, let's celebrate it. But I'm talking about when you have a team that physical and that intimidating,
mm-hmm.
it is so much more fun to cheer for than just a team that can score 40 points a game.
I know there is something, you know, it's great when you see those, you know, long balls that are, you know, 60 yard touchdowns, whatever. Those are super fun, right? But it's way more fun to see another team get completely stuffed play after play after play. And you're just in it and you just see them get so frustrated because they cannot get anywhere against your defense. And I love it. It is absolutely my favorite. I'm one of those people who really doesn't mind like a 6-9 football game. Like I'm okay with that, right? And I know most people hate that, but it just is, there is just a different feel. There's that grit to it that is just so much more fun for me.
So how bummed were you that Tyler Lockett wasn't gonna be here?
Oh, I was bummed. I actually, yeah, I really like Tyler and it was sad. But at the same time, when they said they were releasing him, I put in our chat, I'm like, I'm telling you right now, nope, he's asked to leave. And then Quandre Diggs asked to leave. And I'm like, oh, there's no reason to go except for all you guys now. We came here for you guys now.
Well, I mean, you're the only person I could probably have this conversation with. It's tough watching what's going on with Pete Carroll and Geno and Tyler now in Vegas. Like,
yeah.
I know there's a lot of Seahawks fans, or there's some Seahawks fans that are kind of like dancing on the grave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. Like, I didn't want to see Pete go out this way.
Evan.
Yeah, Evan's 100%
Evan
leading
dances.
The charge. I take no pleasure in it.
No.
I wanted Pete to have another really good run.
Yeah.
And then be able to go out
and
on his
be
own,
done.
And then go out on his own terms. Yeah.
Brian, I think you and I were the only one in chat. We're like, you know what? I'm kind of cheering for the Raiders. Not that I wanted them. I was just ready for someone to beat the Chiefs. And so I kind of was cheering for the Raiders. But at the same time, I just wanted him to do well. I kind of wanted him to be able to float away happily, for lack of a better term.
So where are you on Sam Darnold?
You know, I like Sam Darnold. I wasn't thrilled about him at first. He was fine, right? Of the options that you had at the beginning of the season, like what else were you supposed to do, right? And so I think that he fit. But now seeing the development of him, and because you watched him in Minnesota, but I didn't pay attention to him in Minnesota, if that makes sense. And so I think it's just so much more impressive to have watched him develop, and his resilience that he has is very impressive to me.
Yeah.
Things don't really seem to shake him too much. And that you need that in a quarterback. We had it in Russ in a different way because he just kind of always felt he was better than everything that kind of came around there. But then at that point it was a bigger deal.
Well, I'm curious. I haven't had a chance to talk to you yet about what Ernest Jones said after that.
Oh, my God. I loved that.
That's what I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
Like, What was your reaction to that?
It was like the opposite of the way the locker room felt about Russ. Am I right?
Yes.
Like, this is what I said. Because you have said this repeatedly. You have said over and over, this is not the LOB. It feels different. This team is different. And that showed that to me more than anything, I think, because you could really feel that they actually support and have his back. And you believed every word he said. And I loved that the Seahawks put it out unedited. I loved it.
So you've kind of gone through this journey with Mike McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about him now?
Oh, I like him so much. It was the combine. Brian, when we were standing there at the combine, okay. Do you remember? So we
people,
were.
Wait. Yeah. People don't know this. Dana had credentials before I had credentials. So Dana's been going to the combine for years. Yeah.
I was at the draft for years. Yeah.
This was your first combine.
It was my first combine.
Okay, go on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go on.
So Brian and I are standing in front of the podiums where the coaches come and talk. Mike McDonald's up there. And I liked what he was doing with the defense, but I still wasn't totally sold on him, right? And so Brian and I are standing there with a load of other reporters, and he started answering the questions, and I was like, oh, there it is. There's the personality I was looking for. I enjoy him a lot now. I like his seriousness when he needs to be serious, but you can tell every once in a while he can kind of crack it up. And so I think that he is settling into that position so well, and he is settling into being comfortable with what he's doing. And I mean, how could you not like him with that defense? My God, so good.
Yeah. So what do you think is the next thing that needs to happen for the Seahawks team to kind of take the next level? What's the thing that you're waiting to see to feel like, or maybe you're already there? Do you think this team is already like a Super Bowl contender?
I do, especially with, so on the other podcast that I do, which is called Our Turf Football, we talk about all 32 teams. And I will tell you that we keep talking about how the AFC kind of feels like a crapshoot this year. Yeah. There's so many teams that are in the mix. But the NFC, we really feel like we've kind of settled into who's going to be there. And right now, who's going to be there? I feel like Seattle could beat any of those teams. I wish they would get more of the run game going. I wish there was a little more balance there. And I think they'll get there eventually. But I think if they can not have to play the Rams and San Francisco back to back in the playoffs, because that absolutely could happen, I think that they have a good chance.
So I got to admit, I haven't listened to a lot this week because all the things I said earlier, but I did listen to the Athletic Football Show podcast, mm-hmm. where they've been doing this thing all year. If you don't listen to it, where they have a table of who's at the table, who can be a contender. And first of all, they get to a point where they have to add a team and then they have to subtract a team. No, they can't like just add teams. And they finally added the Seahawks, I think before the Rams game. I can't remember, but they like just recently mm-hmm. added them. Yes, I think it was before the Rams game. And so they were doing their first show where they had to winnow it down from 10 teams to 8. And it was a really good list of teams. Yeah. And within the first 45 seconds, first of all, they start talking about Josh Cashman. They start talking about Cable Thanos.
Oh,
yes,
no.
They do. It was awesome. So I highly recommend. It was so funny. They were like, I'm so scared to do this episode because someone like Cable Thanos is going to do a video
of
my bad takes, and they're going to make me just look like a total idiot. All three of them were like, oh, yeah, that guy. He's going to absolutely kill us. So that was funny. But then Dana, they go through these 10 teams. You're talking about the Chiefs and the Bills and, you know, the Rams and on and on and on. And they're like, well, there's four teams we don't even have to talk about. We all agree they're Super Bowl contenders. They can win it. It's not make it the Super Bowl. They can win it. And the Seahawks were one of the four teams.
Insane.
This is like they were the last one to be added. This is a team that they were all saying is going to finish like last place. It was a terrible offseason. Now it's one of the four blessed teams that they're like, we don't even have to question it. They're a Super Bowl team.
At the beginning of the season, I'm going to do a little informal poll. At the beginning of the season, did any of us think that's where we would be?
Show of hands. Who thought the Seahawks were a Super Bowl team before
the season? At the beginning of
this
season.
Honest.
Before.
Not a single hand. No hands. Wait, did we have Derek? No.
Evan, did you think we were a Super Bowl team before the beginning of the season?
No, we got no hands.
Yeah. And look where that's, I think, been the most fun about this season is the surprise of we're like, I mean, holy shit, we're really good.
Yes.
Like, who knew, right?
Yes. Well, we've got some super chats. I want to get to some of these. One, I want to thank Bangers, who has given us a really nice super chat. Says, have a drink on me, guys.
Aw, yay.
Very nice. And then we've got one from Balance32. My eyesight's not working so well here. Says the defensive backfield the defensive backfield we are going against is bad. Does it mean anything to you if Sam doesn't have a clean game? You understand the question?
Like, I do.
Yeah.
Not really. I want to see him rebound from what happened last week, but at the same time, I still don't think one or two mistakes is going to change the trajectory of this at all.
Yeah.
It's not even just this game. I mean, the season. I just don't think, because the defense can overcome it.
I feel like we need to see a clean game.
Do you?
I don't think it changes trajectory, but like, you got to start somewhere, and this is as good a place as any to start. So I think it's a fair question. Matt Box, I think the real questions, have you ever done karaoke at Palmer's?
I have not.
Karaoke at Palmer's.
Anybody? Karaoke at Palmer's?
I guess we're going to have to try that a little bit later. And then OEL says, can you imagine if the Hawks won a Super Bowl at the 40 Winer Stadium with Darnold, who once backed up Purdy, lifting the Lombardi Trophy, Troll City? That would be the best.
I would be so ready for Evan online after that happens. I think that would be crazy.
All right. So I don't know if they're still here. I think I saw them at some point. Do we have any Hasselbacks in attendance? Any local Nashville residents? Is there a Matt and Annabelle Hasselback? Can they make their way up here for a second? Thank you, Dana. Are they here? Did they leave? He's taking pictures. Of course he is. Of course he is. We've got a special father-daughter tandem that I want to at least ask a couple questions to. Come on over. You're not getting away that easy. They thought they'd just show up. We've got a cowboy hat looking like Lainey Wilson. Come on over. We need the Nashville residents. We're going to make, please take a seat. AB from the Seahawks Collective. Matt, take a seat here. Good to see you, dude. Actually, why don't you? Oh, wait. No, it's so good to see you. Seahawks Collective. All right. No, it's good over one. I'm going to be in the middle of you guys. All right. Or else you won't be on the.
You're going to be here, Matt. You're here. Okay. So hopefully this will work because I tried to set up a third mic. You can throw that one on, AB. So. Evan, can you move that camera a little bit to the right so AB's in the frame? Yes. So, first question is, Annabelle, talk to us about what Matt was like. What was it like on game days after the game was over? Was he the same after a win as a loss?
He was the same after a win as a loss, but we were watching the game immediately when we got home from the stadium. I think in Seattle, we'd stop at like that Krispy Kreme donut if we won. Nice. That was like a plus. Always remember that. That's Top Pot.
Top Pot, that's true.
So the Krispy Kreme was always a staple after win, but I remember coming home and sitting down on the couch and like looking up and I'm like, weren't we just there? Like, wasn't that the game that we just were at? But he was always watching the game right after when we got home.
So was that modeled for you? Like your dad obviously played. How was he post game?
Yeah, I just remember after games with my dad, we'd play like catch in the parking lot with the players. So he played for Steve Grogan, and be like guys like Steve Grogan, Steve Nelson, Stanley Morgan, play catch in the parking lot. Now we did not do that at what was Quest back then, but that was our tradition though. Krispy Kreme donut after every Seahawk win. We're sitting in traffic anyway, so it's a great thing to do.
So, now, same question for you. Annabelle Hasselback, after a lacrosse win or a lacrosse loss, was she the same person?
Very hard on herself. Like, the game could go perfectly. Like, oh, did you see what happened on that 1v1? Like, very, very tough on herself.
So, I mean, I think we've got a future star here. How proud are you to see, like, what she started in her career? Just out of school, you know, obviously doing the Seahawks Collective, working in Boston, doing a bunch of stuff. It's amazing, right?
It's great. I mean, she was a superstar at BC, but, I watch her. I watch your Seahawks Collective show every Tuesday night with my mom. My mom wanted to come and meet you.
She said, I want to be a Hawk blogger.
I was like, girl, get in the car. We're like, it's going to be a late night, Mom.
She did say one time, she's like, you need to tell Brian to get a little closer to the camera. I can't see him as well.
I think that's a bonus. I think that's a feature, not a bug, as they'd say in my old industry.
Today, Annabelle out of college worked for the Seahawks for a little bit. And we were at practice today. And guys are coming off. And, you know, I think more people said hi to Annabelle than said to me. Like Leonard Williams is giving her a hug and all the coaches and the athletic trainers and everybody. And they just kind of gave me like the Pez, you know, the Pez candy dispenser, just like that. What's up? You know, so I'm really proud of her. She's done a great job. And it's super fun to watch you guys.
All right, so UCLA, speaking of Hasselbeck hits, got a game here in a little bit.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about, I'm going to ask this in front of what might be some Huskies fans. Huskies versus UCLA, how's that going to go tonight?
You know, it's so funny. All these Cougs have been, like, reaching out to me, like, good luck tonight. Go UCLA. And I couldn't figure it out. And then I figured out they were playing UW tonight. So, I don't know. It's been a tough year. I think UW's probably favored, heavily favored in this game. So, we'll see how it goes.
All right, AB. First of all, I never get to ask you questions about the Seahawks. So you spent a year working, or at least a summer working with the team. What was that experience like?
It was incredible. I think number one, just to be back in Seattle where I grew up and spent the first 10 years of my life was just so special and like truthfully emotional. I remember there'd be just many moments while I got to be out at the VMAC, just like, this is so cool. Just the amount of training camps that I spent there running around, watching him and just how awesome it was for our family. So I think that was just cool to be a fan of the Seahawks back there, but also learn from like just the top notch of an organization was incredible. I got to hang out with Brian every day. So that was awesome. And yeah, just be a part of a new regime. Like Mike McDonald's first year was really cool just to see how hard that is, right? As a brand new head coach to come in and like set the standard and set a culture for a team that really had that for so long. So I think that was what was so cool is to be there for like my personal childhood memories and just to be able to be like fully a Seahawk again. Cause you know, we were at Titans, Colts, we've been living in Boston. I've been this like Patriots Nation, Pats Nation. I remember moving to Boston freshman year of high school. Didn't tell anybody I was a football fan, anything. Girl in my orientation class, we were in this like dorm on a freshman retreat. You're from Indiana? That's all she said. I was like, yeah. She's like, so you hate Tom Brady? And like started coming at me. Didn't know I had any football connection. And so people are intense up there.
Yes,
so
they are. Yes,
getting
they
to
are.
Fully be back in Seattle and just like embrace being a Seahawk was awesome.
I think it's really cool because what I think a lot of people don't get to see is the people off the field that are not the players, not the coaches, and how the organization forms around a new leader, right? When Mike McDonald comes in. And there was like a lot of people in that building, tried and true Pete Carroll people. He meant a lot to that organization, and have a new voice come in, a new person, was a change. And then this year, you didn't get a chance to experience this, but the rookie class, the amount of people I talked to that aren't, you know, like the people that everyone else knows, that's like, my God, this rookie class, they have so much charisma. There's so much personality. And now to see them actually come on the field and be maybe one of the most talented rookie classes in Seahawks history. I mean, do you have a player that for you kind of enjoyed this season?
Well, shoot, I wish Troy Horton was healthy because that's been amazing. I mean, also just, you know, not a name that anyone nationally was talking about. And then you come out here and I'm seeing in training camp, Troy Horton. And just to see the success that he's had. So I hopefully we'll get to see him later in the season.
All right. So last thing I got to ask both of you, because everyone's here in Nashville. You grew up a little bit here. Obviously, you live here now. Any recommendations? Matt was trying to text me recommendations today. I'm sitting here on a walk. And I'm like, thanks for the tips. And he's like, I haven't given you any tips yet. I'm like, okay, I promise I will read what you're writing now. But you know, obviously folks have another day here. Matt, I'll start with you. Any must do's for you?
I mean, tomorrow's all about the game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I think that's a tough one. Make sure you get a good night's sleep at some point tonight. I mean, not everyone can make it to Sunday when they come to Nash Vegas. So make sure you make it to Sunday. We might need you to be loud and proud, you know, across the street. So that'd be my advice.
That's good advice. All right. So I'm going to ask the dad to put the earmuffs on. Late night, like, haunts, places we should go for.
I'm not as cool as you think I am, Brian.
For the
I don't
tacos,
know.
After we've had too much to drink, any recommendations?
Great recommendation. Actually went there today. I made him take me there. We weren't even close. I was like, I'm kind of hungry. You hungry? He's like, yeah, man. I'm like, Velvet Taco, can we go? So if you've never been Velvet Taco, it's right by Vanderbilt. It'd be a great opportunity to see Vandy. Really quick, took like 10 minutes. You can take out, sit in. It was great.
All right. Well,
I like it. He's like, it's not that nice of a place, but it's really good.
It's like late night bar food. It's like post bar food. It's actually pretty good. It's pretty good. It's across from Riley.
Losers. There's a bar called Losers. My sister, who's cooler than me, loves that place.
It's right across from that.
All right. Well, guys, can we get a round of applause for the Hassebacks? Absolutely. Appreciate you guys making the trip. Yeah, and
thanks for having us.
I will see you in just a minute. But that, folks, is going to kind of wrap it. I was going to bring Josh Cashman on, but he's going to get out of it. He's lucky that way. So here we are, thousands of miles away from Seattle with a room full of Seahawks fans, including one of the 50 greatest players in the history of the franchise. And what might be one of the 50 greatest, you know, sports commentators coming up with his daughter and a team that might win the Super Bowl this year. So count your blessings. I certainly will. I'm looking forward to getting to meet all of you that are here. And for folks that did not get a chance to come here, next time we'll do a Real Hawk Talk Live wherever we're closer and hopefully meet a lot more of you. So appreciate all of you. And that will do it for this episode of Real Hawk Talk. Take care, everybody.